cliffcentral.com.
How do you like? How do you like that? Cry Wolf, Lunar Shadows. Do you like it?
Oh, I thought it was Taylor Swift.
No.
Well, I'm just glad we aren't playing some Irish music as per Ben's great homage.
Oh, did you?
It was St. Patrick's Day.
You played Irish music?
Well,
but really?
Was it Irish music as it was just melancholic?
Did it sound like this?
It was Ed Sheeran. It was Ed Sheeran trying to be Irish.
This is more lively than what.
Well, there's a dog barking in the background. It's got to be Irish.
Oh, wow. The Irish. Their biggest contribution to the world? Potatoes? No, not even, because they had a potato famine. Almost wiped out the entire Irish population. Their contributions are Bono.
Guinness.
Guinness. Bob Geldof and
good whiskey.
And a day that you celebrate ostensibly for a saint, but really just to get drunk. Yeah.
Yeah, well, currently we don't appreciate whiskey, so.
Listen, I'm
singular.
I mentioned I saw Doug Stanhope, a comedian that I've always loved in Austin. Mm-hmm. He was there for South by Southwest, but he's just he's the strangest guy. Like, he's drunk all the time. Like Batabile Dlamini drunk. And he's very proud. He says he's taken all the drugs. He's done all the drink. He had this girlfriend called Bingo. I think she's dead.
Bingo.
No, seriously, Bingo. Yeah, she was just the weirdest like setup. But I remember him saying something in one of his stand-up routines about being offended. Because he just goes right for the jugular. I mean, he doesn't give a shit about anyone's feelings. He said, if you are offended by things, mm-hmm. your parents didn't raise you properly.
Well, that's pretty cutting, huh?
He said, if you are offended by something someone says, by sounds they make with their mouth, your parents didn't raise you properly. He said, you come out of your mother and you're a weak, pathetic, weak ball of nothing. You can't survive. Every other mammal, the infant, virtually straight after being born, is walking so that it doesn't get eaten by predators and stuff. You know what I mean, right? Humans, we are useless. For at least the first 18 years of our lives, we can't fend for ourselves.
Pretty much.
Right? Every other animal, the baby can do something virtually as soon as it comes out of the womb. It can start looking after itself. Sometimes some of these animals will eat their own young if the young don't get out of the way quickly enough. We humans were born weak, he says. Then the parents go, I know. Let's make you even weaker. Let's tell you that if certain people make certain sounds with their mouth, you should get upset. And that will debilitate you. And render you incapable of contributing meaningfully to society. And that's what it is.
But
it's so sensible. Like what he said is exactly right. That is what being offended is. It's weakness.
But on a different upside, that's what makes us human, though.
What, being weak?
Well, let's not view it as being weak. Let's view it as being emotionally soft.
But you choose to get upset by things. And if you choose to get upset by things, you're choosing weakness.
But
it doesn't make sense.
We'd be like eating each other's heads off.
Yes, but maybe that would be a better outcome.
More natural.
Cannibalism. The better outcome.
Maybe not so much cannibalism.
Look, I don't know that it would be worse. I really don't. Anyway. So apparently John Oliver had the Dalai Lama on his show. I'm not going to be able to play all of this for you, but this is pretty interesting because he talks about Tibetan Buddhists and how they've been persecuted by the Chinese government. And he then sat down with the Dalai Lama to discuss China, the conditions in Tibet, and things like horse milk. So we got to talk about all of those things too. But
Hang on a second. Is Dalai Lama the guy who's like 1,000 years old?
No, the Dalai Lama is the spiritual head of Tibetan Buddhism.
But doesn't he have like...
He's the reincarnated form of Siddhartha Gautama Buddha.
So he's 1,000 years. If he's reincarnated, then he's...
Well, it's more than 1,000.
No one knows what his age is.
No, but this...
He's a lot like Shahid Afridi, the Pakistani cricketer. No one knows the actual age.
this present Dalai Lama was, what happens is that when a Dalai Lama dies, they find the child who next is reincarnated. He's the 14th one. Then his real name is Lhamo Dondrub, right? And he was actually born in China, but it was probably Tibet in 1935. So we know he's 81 years old. This person, this current incarnation of the Buddha. But here he is with John Oliver. I think this is pretty cool, and I found it interesting. I don't always love John Oliver, but I don't have to qualify that. I'm sure that counts for everybody. Sometimes you love someone, some of the time, sometimes you just disagree with them. Listen to what he says here.
We'd like to talk about someone you may not have thought about for a while, the Dalai Lama, a man so enlightened he's basically the original woke bae. According to a Gallup poll, the Dalai Lama is actually the sixth most admired man in America. And when you mention his name to people in the streets, you can see how widely he's revered.
A lot of respect, inspiration for what he says.
He says a lot of good quotes.
He has some really great quotes about life.
He said a lot of good things. I guess he's a peaceful man.
He's about peace.
Okay, so he's peaceful, admired, and has some good quotes. That is pretty broad. They could be describing either the Dalai Lama or Matthew McConaughey. But watch what happens when those same people are asked a simple follow-up.
What would you say the Dalai Lama does?
I have no idea. I'm not even gonna lie.
I don't know. I'm not really sure.
He's a very important figure for Hinduism?
Oh, Jesus.
Like Buddhist god, right?
Nah. No, not a god. He's a real person. He's alive.
Oh, shit.
He just said, oh, shit, like he owes the Dalai Lama money. He's alive. Oh, shit, I've got to disappear for a while. That guy does not fuck around. Now, the Chinese government, however, have a very different view, because instead of vaguely loving the Dalai Lama, they very specifically hate him. They've referred to him as a wolf in monk's robes and have banned his image. They've even retaliated against Americans for even meeting with him.
Britain's Guardian says China reportedly banned Lady Gaga. That's because she met with the Dalai Lama in Indianapolis to discuss yoga.
Wow. I mean, not only is it incredible that they banned her for that, it's incredible that that event happened at all. Lady Gaga was with the Dalai Lama in Indianapolis discussing yoga. That is only slightly less ridiculous than Elton John meeting Ben Bernanke on Easter Island to talk about Roombas. Now, the Chinese government's hatred of the Dalai Lama stems from its desire to maintain control of Tibet, a region in southwest China. And Tibet was something of a celebrity cause in the 1990s. There were Tibetan freedom concerts featuring the Beastie Boys, and Richard Gere even brought it up at the Oscars.
I was wondering if this kind of... if something miraculous and really kind of movie-like could happen here, where we could all kind of send love and truth and a kind of sanity to Deng Xiaoping right now in Beijing, that he will take his troops and take the Chinese away from Tibet and allow these people to live as free, independent people again. So, thought. You send this thought. Send this thought out. Send this thought.
We send this thought. We send it out right now. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry, there's been a mistake. The thoughts are actually supposed to be sent to the producers of Moonlight. This is not a joke. Moonlight, these thoughts are for you. There's been a horrible mistake. Moonlight, take the thoughts. But there is a lot about Tibet that you might not actually know. For a start, it's larger than you probably think. China say it's this area, but Tibetan exiles will say it's even larger, encompassing an area that is roughly a quarter of China. So it's very big in a confusing way, which, and this is true, is also how director Lars von Trier characterized Willem Dafoe's dick. Seriously, he told reporters, it's too big. Everybody got very confused when they saw it. What I'm saying is, Tibet is the Willem Dafoe's dick of planet Earth. It is surprisingly large. The point is, China invaded Tibet in 1950, and ever since they've imposed strict controls on the institutions of Tibetan Buddhism there. Temples and monasteries have been destroyed, and hundreds of thousands of Tibetans have been killed. And things inside Tibet are still grim. When Freedom House scored countries and territories for political rights and civil liberties, Tibet came in second worst behind Syria and ahead of both Somalia and North Korea.
Jeez, wow, that's pretty hectic, huh?
Sure.
So he eventually gets to interview him. I thought we'd just fast forward to that a little bit because, you know, John Oliver's not an unintelligent dude. And I thought when he's sitting with the Dalai Lama, he might not be doing his stand-up routine, yeah, you know, trying to make people laugh. And let's see what he says.
A involved considerably more uphill walking, cows and monkey traffic than I'd been led to believe. All to talk with the Dalai Lama about China, conditions in Tibet and what comes next for him. Your Holiness, it is an honour to speak to you. May I say, Tashi Dilek.
Tashi Dilek, thank you.
How is my pronunciation? Tashi
Dilek. I think we're good.
In my defence, I just started learning Tibetan 40 seconds ago.
Oh, no.
So let's talk about China, because the Chinese government absolutely hates you, don't they?
Yes.
Publicly, one government official said you're a wolf wrapped in monk's robes. Mm.
No,
and
is this
photos
real?
Of you are forbidden in many places. You don't, to me, look like an evil wolf.
They described me as a demon.
You're a demon?
Oh.
Yeah.
Then I immediately reacted, yes, I'm demon with horn.
With horn?
Yeah, because that's your classic demon, right?
Yes.
I think that's when they look at you, that's what they see.
Well, whatever they want to say, that's their freedom. I have no negative feeling. I just feel a love like that. I practice, you see, taking others' anger, suspicion, distrust, and give them patience, tolerance, and compassion. I practice that.
But it seems the Chinese government are particularly good at taking your positivity, turning it back into negativity. And yes, oppression of the Tibetan people, yes, and they hand it back to you as it was.
Yes.
Just outside the Dalai Lama's temple is a local memorial honouring Tibetans who've self-immolated in protest against Chinese oppression, acts that put him in a very difficult position. This is a hard question.
Oh.
The self-immolation that has happened, 140 Tibetans have burned themselves. It is very, very sad.
Indeed, yes.
Why is it hard for you to definitively tell them to stop doing it?
This is, I find, a very difficult sort of situation. Right from the beginning, when I first heard that, firstly, I expressed my sort of sadness. Then, meantime, if I say their action is wrong, then their family, they feel very sad. One of their family member did something against the Dalai Lama's wish.
Right.
I don't want to create that. And then certainly I cannot support that because of the act of killing. From Buddhist viewpoint, it's a self-killing, not good. So there.
Isn't he interesting? I mean, just listening to the way the guy figures things out, I mean, he just sounds to me to be one of those people, those very rare people who knows what he's about, but it's not about him. He's figured himself out. He knows what his role in the cosmos is, but it's definitely not about him. Doesn't that just strike you as extremely evolved? So evolved.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a very big, loaded, profound statement. Know what he's about, but it's not about him. That's very cool.
No, don't you think so?
For me, this, like, he's more human, and it kind of gives hope for all of us to be like, we don't have to be jackasses all the time.
Yeah, maybe we can get to this. Maybe dumb me, and maybe you feel dumb when you listen to the Dalai Lama. You feel like you're a spiritual retard.
Yeah, this level, I don't think so.
No, I don't think this is available to all of us. I got to be, look, I would love to reach this level of just peace with the world. Like, he doesn't harbor any negativity.
Nothing at all.
How do you get to that? I want to know. That would be a great achievement.
I think it's because you just never stop learning. Like, he looks at life like today could be a learning day. Not like today I am everything.
Do you want to hear some more?
Yeah.
I'm loving this. This is almost like a masterclass on how not to be, as Sia says, a jackass. All right? Let's just take it back to where we were. So he's busy talking to him.
They follow.
What?
They really follow.
What was that?
Their traditional sort of drink, horse milk.
Oh, okay, hang on, I left something out here.
My position is very, very difficult. So then, best thing is, remain silent, keep quiet.
Now that is something I've got to learn to do that. If you have a difficult position, you don't have to choose. You can just shut up. I have to learn this. This is something I've never been able to do. I don't have to have every battle. I don't have to have every argument. I don't have to weigh in on everything. I don't have an opinion on it.
It's our predisposition to you, though.
Shh. Just be silent.
Then we'll have a 6 to 6:18 show.
Yes. We could cut this show down to 18 minutes. It could be brilliant and profound every day. Don't you think?
Nothing else.
By the way, we'll check in with Arya Kelman in a moment or two. He's in New York, but let's hear a little bit more from the Dalai Lama.
Lama is painfully aware how powerful his words are, and he occasionally uses them in targeted and sometimes surprisingly specific ways, like this example, which he offered up out of nowhere.
One of my previous visits to Mongolia, you see, they took a lot of vodka, the Russian sort of hard sort of acid.
They like a drink. Vodka.
Then I suggested drink much less vodka.
Yeah, they love to hear that.
Instead of that, you see, their traditional sort of drink, horse milk.
Wait, hold on.
Horse milk.
Wait, you tried to wean them off vodka by giving them horse milk?
Oh, yes. They follow.
What?
They really follow. Since then, you see, I think a majority of Mongolian no longer any drink.
Hold on, that is a huge claim. You cured Mongolia of alcoholism.
Yes.
Using horse milk.
Yes.
Yeah, not to labour the point, I'm just concerned I would see horse milk and I'd think, oh, that came from a horse.
That's illogical. What's the differences? Cow milk and horse milk, what differences?
One comes out of a cow, the other I don't know how you get it out of a horse.
Did he laugh?
He's just laughing. We were having fun. And I knew just how to keep the party going. Let's talk about a lighter subject, death. You are going to die, and when you do, it's going to be a massive problem. Because there are issues regarding your reincarnation regarding China.
I do not much concern about that. My main concern is well-being of 7 billion human beings and then preservation of rich Buddhist tradition, which we kept.
But you're intertwined with that.
No. It's an individual person, not much important. You know.
Right, but you're the Dalai Lama.
But Buddhism, over 2,600 years, still very much alive.
So do you think you might be the last Dalai Lama?
Very possible.
You do?
Yes.
Might be it.
If I become last Dalai Lama, I feel very happy.
Why, because you were a good one?
Oh, yes. I may say quite intelligent.
You're calling yourself intelligent, are you?
I think so.
So a little bit of arrogance there as well. If you don't resolve your reincarnation issue, are you not worried that China will appoint their own Dalai Lama and he may not speak like you're speaking now?
That also, if may I say so?
Yeah?
That's also, you see, one of the foolish act. Short-sighted.
China.
Without using human brain properly. It's harmful.
That is a guaranteed way to calm the Chinese government down, to tell them they're not using the human brain properly.
I told them, our brain usually, you see, have the ability to create common sense. The Chinese hardliners, in their brain, that part of brain is missing.
Zing.
I love it. Isn't that great?
That's classic.
Oh, wow, that part of their brain is missing, hardliners. Well, that's true of any political ideologue. And you can say what you like about the Dalai Lama. I think he's doing more good than bad on any balance sheet that you'd like to bring.
For sure.
Right? And I can't believe our government won't let him come and visit here.
Do you know what? I started off cringing at the beginning of this interview. But, you know, my true mark of a good interview is when you get to find out something or get to see a different side of someone who you've never seen before. And how fascinating would it have been if, you know, John Oliver came with this question after question that is scripted and that is conventional, which is, oh, how great you are and look at the good you've done in the world, versus this. This is actually a whole new different side to His Holiness. That's his official title, right?
His Holiness the Dalai Lama. There we go. Nice of you to bring that up, Sia. You're so respectful.
His Holiness.
You use the right forms of address and everything. You're so good at this.
We may not want to, but he is President Trump, case in point. Respect the position.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's turn our attention to some of the other things. Obviously, a lot of people talking about Joe Mafela, who died over the weekend in a car accident. There's a 38, just when you think there couldn't be more disgraceful behavior and thievery and corruption from government. 38 million rand in state vehicles. Cars that are stolen and stripped. Vehicles illegally hired out for profit that belong to the government. No. An elaborate scam that has netted up to 38 million rand. It emerged during in-camera hearings held by Standing Committee on Public Accounts, that's SCOPA, in the Gauteng Legislature on Thursday. They briefed SCOPA on the extent of the racket, which also includes the abuse of government petrol cards. Isn't this great?
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Well, so many rotten people. Rotten people.
Well, the thievery doesn't end because an O.R. Tambo heist suspect has been arrested after, what did he go and do? He bought a Lamborghini.
Oh, wow.
Just, of course.
Stupid is as stupid does, huh?
Security guards at the O.R. Tambo International Airport are among five more suspects who've been arrested for the 200 million rand heist. Shucks.
So what? He went from driving like a midnight mystery exactly. to then having a Lamborghini.
Exactly.
And everyone's like, hey, where'd you get that from?
Oh, I just lucked out.
Man, the Hawks.
They were selling it for cheap.
The Hawks have been working with a provincial tracking team and crime intelligence in Limpopo. Arrested four suspects in Soshanguve, Tembisa, and Norcom Park and at an exclusive estate in Centurion. But a source, 39-year-old source who's remained anonymous, says that a Centurion resident was in possession of a Lamborghini and an undisclosed amount of money. Once again,
that's just
keeping
great.
Money on him, such a smart move.
What an idiot.
We still don't know whose money it was that was stolen. This is what I find so intriguing about this story.
I love this.
You know, they tried. They really did try to pull off a heist because here, you know, it also lets us know that there's a man who's a foreign national was arrested for allegedly cloning the police vehicle used in the heist. So you see, they were very strategic and they put a lot of thought into this. But this is why I saw a tweet yesterday. Someone, and I'm paraphrasing here, said, this is why men are found to cheat as well, because when they do cheat, the problem is they tell like their best friend, or they have to tell someone. You know, you go out there, you're like, oh, you'll never guess what I did on the weekend. See, if you just keep it to yourself, you can skim past it. Case in point, if you kept this money to yourself,
you idiot,
and not buy a 5 million rand Lamborghini.
I mean, a 5 million rand car. What kind of a... This guy is so dumb. I've got to thank him. Let us all thank him for being so stupid. He's just,
oh, man.
He's proven to us that money does not flow uphill. And even if you get huge amounts of cash, you will eventually end up poor and you'll end up in jail if you don't deserve it.
As if it's not enough to be the laughing stock of the country. Wow. Now going to jail, he'll be laughed at till his sentence ends. My goodness.
Unbelievable.
Shucks. Well, also keeping with this weekend's festivities, the South African Film and Television Awards happened, the SAFTAs.
Yes, tell us about the SAFTAs.
The 11th annual SAFTAs happened all the way in Sun City.
Who were the winners?
Spoke to some people who I know were nominated, were kind of ticked off that they had to trek all the way to Sun City. But nonetheless, it was broadcast on SABC2, one of the good things that are still happening at the SABC.
All right.
And we have some... winners in case of High Rollers, which is a drama in SABC3 for Best Achievement in Directing for TV Soap.
You ever watch that?
Nope. I just know that was a good buzz, as was a good South African production. Tina Jaxa is still around as a Best Actress in a TV Soap. We have Isibaya, which was Most Popular TV Soap. Jerry Mofokeng.
Isn't it just sad that soap operas are the most popular things in South African TV? Shows you the level of most people's comprehension. Like, bullshit stories about ordinary dumb people who live in dumb places and do dumb things. This is the most popular TV show.
It's strange, yeah.
Huh? But when you see, at, for example, Isibaya winning and Isibaya's popularity, which is really the simple story of this traditional Zulu family.
Yeah.
you start to see that actually telling authentic South African stories is the way to go, not like Egoli and, you know, living in a mansion and drinking champagne. Like, no one resonates with that.
Yeah, well, you tell that to an old Afrikaans housewife who was like literally lived a life on Egoli. Well, what a show that was.
as you did, Ben.
Exactly. I was on Egoli twice.
You were?
No, shut up.
I had lines on Egoli
once. No, stop.
Yeah.
You didn't realize you were knocking his show.
Damn you.
Wait, now you have to explain. You started Egoli twice.
Oh,
you had a recurring character.
No, it wasn't anything interesting. When I first moved to Joburg, when I wanted to get involved in radio, it was a long, long time ago.
What are we talking about? Like late 90s?
No, I was still in school in the late 90s.
Oh, sorry. Early 2000s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably 2003, and just kind of stay busy and do things. I was on Egoli twice. I was a computer assistant.
And what is your name?
And I had to speak in Afrikaans. It was the cringest thing ever. And I had the biggest pimple on my face that day for some unknown reason. And the pants they gave me were so tight and so short that literally it was like the computer assistant with balls. That was pretty much my
role.
Were
they like cargo?
They were horrible. And I couldn't sit down for fear of splitting these things. And I'm pretty sure you could see which side I dressed. It was to the left.
So if someone has footage of this,
please,
they would be able
yes.
to they'd be what able to your, accurately would, define the size be, of Ben's penis.
It would be so funny to see it again. Because you know that Encore channel, all these
yeah,
old shows?
Yes. Right.
All I want to do one day is flick onto that, and there's me as the computer assistant getting this guy's documents.
Oh, we need to find that somewhere on Earth.
And muttering some Afrikaans lines that I just
reheard. Did it in Afrikaans, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
As if IT jargon wasn't hard enough, now that it had to be translated. And then just wrapping it up, Puppet News, which is Czar News, won
yes.
For Best TV Comedy.
Well,
and
this is the joke about that show, right? Is mm-hmm. It keeps winning awards, but no channel will put them on.
Isn't that funny?
There's no channel that is brave enough to put Czar News on.
But they recognize it. Anyway, and our very own Shlubin Boy won an award.
Yay. Nicely done, Shlubi.
Best Supporting Actress in a Feature Film, and was
great.
A big night for them Dodda family as well, because Anele won for Best Talk Show with her show, Real Talk with Anele.
Very good.
And her sister, Thembisam Dodda, won for Best TV Presenter for Our Perfect Wedding.
Okay, very nice.
Very cool evening.
Let us go to Aria Kelman, who is in New York City. I was there on, what was it, Wednesday? Yeah. Wednesday or Thursday, I can't even remember which day it was now. It's all a blur to me. But it was just after that big snowstorm. And Kellerman, I've been looking at your stuff on Instagram and on Twitter and on Snapchat and everywhere, and it looks like you're having the time of your life, man. What's happening?
Yo, 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 what's happening? We out here live from the Hudson.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, at the Hudson Hotel.
Yes, that's where I'm sitting right now.
It's on 9th between 57th and 59th, right?
Fantastic. Well, if you say so, let's go with that. I have no idea.
Okay, all right, I got you. All right, I've stayed there before. It's beautiful. So what are you guys doing?
So we love collaborating with Virgin Atlantic. It's a brand that we love. So basically myself, Carl Deutsch, who's a singer, and Roxy Berger, who's a TV personality. We've come out to New York for a couple of days to do a thing called Go Live, which is basically anyone at any point, at any time in the world can tell us to go live and we have to. And we also just out here to kind of document our experience in New York and do some very, very cool, different, dope things.
Sounds amazing. Where have you been so far?
Cool. Yeah. So we did actually the dopest thing today, and maybe you can help me with your knowledge of what's happening in the world. Explain why this is so. We did something today called Fly Nyon, which is where we took a 30-minute helicopter ride over New York, and the sides of the helicopter obviously open up, so you can lean out while you're harnessed in and take pictures and all of that. And they asked us at the top of it to go, you know, where we wanted to go, Central Park, all those places. The one place we couldn't circle the airspace of, though, was Trump Tower, which I thought you would find interesting. The second Trump came in, that was kind of a no-go aerial zone, which I thought was pretty interesting in terms of where the world is at.
Right. It's like a national key point now, so you can't circle around there because that's where he lives some of the time.
Yep. No, you can't. Ivanka's out there. She's hanging out. So we did that. That was cool. We obviously did our Saturday brunch vibe in Chelsea, because you can't be in New York on a Saturday at 11 o'clock without a boozy brunch.
Nice.
And headed to some of the cool spots. One of the cool things I think about New York is that all the hotels have their own bars, which then eventually turn into clubs, and they're usually on the roof, which makes them really cool because they've got a great view. So we've done some really great stuff in Williamsburg. Yesterday we were out at the Standard Hotel and then the Ganzevoort. I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
So we've kind of just been hanging out. And then earlier this evening we saw School of Rock on Broadway, which was just basically these young 10-year-olds being wildly, ridiculously impressive, playing guitars and drumming drums and doing all sorts of really cool things.
I've heard it's a great show. Now, listen, that's on Broadway and 7th, right? It's been going there for a couple of years now already.
Yeah.
All right, so is the snow all gone? Because when I was there just the other day, there was still like slush and snow on every street corner.
So this is a crazy thing. It's probably gone down quite a bit since you were here because it tends to do that pretty quickly. A lot of cars still obviously haven't moved and they've kind of been snowed under. And I guess the police eventually tow those cars away. But yeah, there's a bit of a gooey slush every here. And then you've kind of got to put on ice skates before you cross certain parts of the road, or you just jump over, or you just find the part that doesn't have the melting ice. But the weather actually hasn't been too bad for us, bar a little bit of snow on Saturday. But I mean, snow is great for Instagram, so you can't really complain.
All right. And you weren't freezing cold in that helicopter.
I was. I have not worn long johns in a very long time, and I've been wearing them every single day. Luckily, though, they give you gloves and everything like that because it's super, super cold high up there. And it was pretty choppy as well, but it was one of the most unbelievable experiences. I think to see New York like that for 30 minutes with Fly 9 is incredible. It gives you so much perspective. And it's just, yeah, you walk through the city and you know that it's busy, but when it's like zooming out on Google Maps, it's a beautiful experience.
What a place to be able to see from the sky. It's just amazing. I actually follow those guys on Instagram. Wow, they put up such cool stuff. All right, thank you, Aria Kelman. What's your plans for tomorrow? I mean, now it's what, midnight over there now, so what are you going to do tomorrow?
Yeah, so it's about 1:30 here, so we'll wake up in a little bit and check out of the hotel before we get onto a bit of a hop-on, hop-off bus tour. And then we fly out to London tomorrow evening, and then we'll spend a day in London capturing a little bit of that. And then I will be back hanging out on Wednesday morning when I land.
All right, before you go, I saw Kyle had some kind of a wardrobe malfunction. He messed some stuff all over himself. What was that all about?
You see, this is what's great about Snapchat and Instagram stories is that you can do the stuff that you don't post like on the curated Instagram platform. So there may have been somewhat of a boozy flight involved. And he may or may not have spilt somewhat of the product of that boozy flight on his pants, and he may or may not have had to fly Johannesburg, London, as well as London, New York, with sort of red stained pants in the crotch area. That may or may not have happened. I don't know. The story's expired now, so if you didn't see it, it's too late.
Now, if it did happen, let's just imagine it did. What kind of a drink would you find with a red color like that? What drink is that?
Probably something they're really good at in the Cape.
Oh, wine. Okay, that would make a lot of sense. Of course, if it happened.
Yeah, exactly. If it happened, it would totally be grape juice.
And Roxy's behaving herself?
Roxy is, she's Miss Top Billing. So she just, she's fantastic. And Roxy is ridiculously good at capturing all of this. If you're following her Instagram or what she's putting out on social media, you'll see that she just curates the moment in the most spectacular way every step of the way.
All right. Very, very nice. Right. Thank you, Ari. And we'll chat to you when you're back.
Fantastic.
All right, man. Have a good time in New York.
Peace out.
Peace out. There he is, Kelman. Busy, busy bee.
What a trip, eh? Yeah. Wow.
Sounds like a whirlwind. You say in and out. That New York. Ooh, what a place.
God, I refrain from singing the Jay-Z and Alicia Keys song.
No, go on. Everybody loves your singing.
From singing.
New York, concrete right. Jungle, wet right,
stop.
Made
stop.
There's nothing you can do.
Stop it.
I don't understand why the New York tourism hasn't asked me yet.
Look what you've done. You've put everyone in a panic. If you're wondering where Mabali is, she's not in today. She'll be back on Wednesday along with all of us. We got some guests coming in after 8 o'clock this morning. Rich Mulholland will be popping by with a reality check for today. And there's lots more still to come.
Oh, no, he won't be popping
by.
Oh,
you're kidding me.
He's in the
breaking news?
No. Skiing? Today.
No. Yeah, his wife went to New Zealand to go visit family. So he thought, just go snowboarding.
Damn, that's cool.
I just discovered something about...
why is my life...
No.
Why don't I just go snowboarding like Rich Mulholland?
Isn't
it a nice way to do things?
Rich spends his weekends in Cape Town.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I did not know this. So, like, what? I just feel like he lives on a plane onto somewhere in
Rich
the world.
He lives in another dimension to where we live.
Normal.
Yeah.
Okay. Got you.
Dino says, what's the next big thing, Gareth, from South by Southwest? Well, there's a lot of stuff in virtual reality that's happening over there, and VR and artificial intelligence are really the two areas that I think most people are interested in. I saw, when was it? It was probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, so it was before I even left. Saw an interesting interview with Elon Musk talking about going to Mars and all the rest of it, and how he feels that's important because we need to be a multi-planetary species. We can't just exist on Earth, mm-hmm. because if something happens to Earth, we go extinct, right?
Exactly.
That's why he wants us to go to Mars. But this whole thing of AI, of artificial intelligence, is fascinating because there are some very, very serious concerns around when machines think faster than we do and they're able to do things better than we do, will we still be in control? And there were some really cool discussions at South by Southwest with some very, very smart people like Ray Kurzweil about this very thing, about artificial intelligence and whether or not we need to be afraid of it and inevitably just allow technology to continue expanding and evolving and improving, or whether we need to put a stop to it, which is going to be very difficult to do because who's going to decide to stop? What if Sia decides it's find a stop, but Ben decides he wants to carry on?
Yeah.
You know, how do we regulate this? How do we control this going into the future? So I thought this was probably one of the more interesting things that came up. The virtual reality stuff is absolutely incredible. People are now building experiential environments. I saw a woman in the Japanese exhibition at South by Southwest, a woman in a suit that replicates touch. So okay. She's wearing this suit with a whole lot of pressure and sensitivity pads all over it. So if, for example, she gets pushed on her arm, the suit will inflate the right part of the actual lining of the suit to make it feel like she's being pushed. So she's got the virtual reality headset on, and in it she's fighting Mortal Kombat or whatever.
Yeah.
And she gets pushed or she gets kicked, and she feels it in the suit. But it's not real.
Well, but it's practically
real. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah.
So you fall. If you fall forward in space, you feel like you're actually falling. There are devices being built that work on the balance in your inner ear. These okay. devices can then manipulate those fluids in your semicircular canals in your inner ear, mm-hmm. and will allow you to feel off balance, like you're falling forward, like you're falling backwards, like you're leaning to the side.
Through your ears?
Yeah, you'll be able to turn from right to left, and it'll all feel very, very strange.
Oh, party people.
Isn't that going to be fun?
We are never going to leave our houses at some stage.
No, of course not.
It's going to do wonders for traffic.
And you know what? I say bring on the robots. Let them do all the menial work, and humans can enjoy their lives. Humans can, because money won't be the biggest issue anymore going forward. When there's enough for everybody, when there are resources aplenty, when the robots are farming for us and the robots are creating commerce and trade and they're doing all of that on our behalf, you'll be able to subsist on a reasonable, basic, what would you call it? It's like a basic universal salary.
Uh-huh. But not to be pessimistic about this. You know, given our track record as this amazing human race,
yeah.
we will find a way to pick out differences, and we will find a way for like hierarchy system to be in place. And what will that be? Because right now it seems like we'll all be on the same playing field.
We can only hope.
Yeah.
We can only hope. The point of these things, though, is to keep an eye on the future. And I think for a lot of people, it's the most interesting place to go because you just get to hear from amazing, smart people. People who are at the forefront of developing the next big thing. So to answer your very short question in a very long-winded way, Dino, I'd say put your money on virtual reality, artificial intelligence, and I would say that the sensory environments around VR. That's going to completely revolutionize gaming. It's going to completely revolutionize movies, music. Basically, people will be able to, using all five of our senses, create totally artificial worlds that we can inhabit. And for some people, that's terrifying. For other people, it's very exciting. Welcome back, Gareth. This is from Anonymous. Says, I have to say something. I love what you say about government in South Africa. I feel your rants are preaching to the choir because none of those people are smart enough to listen to your show. Same goes for the Renegade Report. They're ranting about the evils of socialism and leftists to people who I think would mostly agree with them because your platform is so selective in audience. You always claim that your listeners are the smartest people, but then again, if you and your colleagues don't talk about this stuff, I suppose no one will. Long live the fight against idiocracy. Well, I appreciate that, but this is not just my job. You've got to tell other people to listen to what we're doing. You know, I met people in America who are curious about what we're up to here, and they want to listen to us. There's a world of content out there. I can't force people to listen to us, but I also can't force them to read. I also can't force them to learn or to think. I mean, it's not a responsibility just for me or for you. It's for everybody. We've all got to raise our kids properly, for starters. If we could just do that, and I know I sound like I'm going at parents a little bit here, but there's a good reason I'm not a parent, because I wouldn't know to get it right. And if I didn't get it right, I'd feel guilty for bringing an innocent creature into the world and then ruining them by being a bad parent. Most parents don't seem to have this qualm.
Man.
They're so busy making the child and trying to push their own dreams and hopes and ambitions onto this poor child like a scapegoat that they raise them badly. And that's not true for everybody. I know some very good parents. I know some people who've done an immaculate job, who do everything they can for their kids. But the fact is, there are so many children in this world who the parents have just raised them very badly. And I don't think that that's my fault, your fault, or any individual's fault. It's everybody's fault. And now it's everybody's problem. So we've all got to find a way to deal with it. Offense says, I live in Pretoria. I'm graduating on the 23rd of June. I do film scoring, video editing, audio engineering. And I've worked with the likes of Ryan Murgatroyd and Joel Asiaki. I want to further my studies. I'd love to do an internship as a composer, audio engineer, and also as a post-producer at your agency. Well, we don't do that kind of thing here, but you know what? Send me an email, Offense. Send me an email and we'll see. There might be a studio somewhere that's looking for somebody. Don't forget the Youth Leadership Platform today on the Leadership Platform. That's this afternoon. Don't forget the Bounce Show with Ben Karpinski coming up later. Very controversial stuff about rugby.
Yeah, there's some things that need to be said, so I'm going to take it upon myself to make it happen.
Can I ask you a thing about Francois Pienaar?
Yeah.
I saw an insurance ad. It's come up a couple of times in my feed on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And it's the most embarrassing and lame and horrible thing I've ever seen. Is Francois Pienaar short of cash? Do you think he's run out of money?
I don't think so. You know,
why is he doing this humiliating stuff, dancing around in Outsurance's purple and green colors? He's dancing. It's so humiliating. It's like when you, it's so bad. It's like when you hold a treat for a dog and the dog goes, it's so bad. Why would he do this?
Well, Outsurance put a lot of money into SA Rugby through a whole bunch of ads, right? So this is just probably the latest one. That's what happens. Like, it's lots of money to be, act like a dick for a day.
So would you do that? For the right amount of money, you'd behave like a moron?
Damn right I would.
You would. You would do it, Sia?
Yeah, for the right amount of money. Come on. Haven't we spoken right, about taking our clothes off?
Okay, then I'm full of shit.
Everyone's got a price.
I'm full of shit. Fine.
Everyone has. Francois Pienaar for 4 or 5 years was eating chips.
Yeah.
And
that's true. You know, most people know him as the Lay's chips guy. They don't know him as the guy who won the World Cup. Well, because people under the age of 20. Why would they
My
know?
My generation.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it was Matt Damon who won the World Cup.
Yes.
That movie was on this weekend. Oh, it's so bad.
Matt Damon and Morgan Freeman.
So I was watching this. I was watching this with my girlfriend, Danielle, and I was saying, oh, this movie, it is so flawed. And she's like, you do realize you're probably the 1% of people who actually finds the flaws in this movie. Because obviously, I know rugby. And she's like, you're just weird.
Most people don't care, right?
Most people don't care at all. And I'm like, listen to Morgan Freeman's accent. It's bloody dreadful. I mean, it's like he forgets he's Madiba. Like, look at that. That try was scored on the other side of the field. And she's like, yeah, no one cares.
Oh, that's amazing. All right. Welcome back. More FOS news, please.
FOS?
FOS. What does that mean?
Full of shit?
No.
No, is it?
I don't know. It's very cryptic.
No, I'm just thinking of...
Help us. Steve, explain what FOS news is. We need to know about that. Unless I'm being really dumb. Does that make sense?
Not to
no.
me.
No. Okay. Well, I'm thinking of how crass our listeners can be. So that's how I'm like... Yeah. Maybe.
You can check in with Aria Kelman, by the way, if you'd like to, on GoLiveVA. That's hashtag GoLiveVA. And there's a link on his Twitter and on his Instagram, if you want to do that. Then Michael from Stellenbosch says, Tunney Helen's comments. Are we really saying that no other government could have built roads or established a justice system? The colonialists solved these problems as they came along by doing what anyone else would have done. Transportation is like needing to take a shit. It's a problem that has a very simple and well-established solution. You don't get the Nobel Prize for building a road. Granted, a social justice system is more complicated, but it is still not a novel idea. You've got a criminal, you want to hang him, but you need to do it in an official capacity. It's insulting and inaccurate to imply that every preceding government could never have achieved what the colonials did. Fair enough.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, Michael. Okay.
But that's what discussion leads to. Good points, and then we all learn.
Well, the first step wasn't necessarily a discussion. It was
yeah,
just
by
like,
the way, but she kicked off the issue.
If you would like
but from
to,
what as well?
If you would like to read her story on where that tweet came from and where all the discussion comes from, she's published an interesting article in the Daily Maverick today. It's called From the Inside, Lessons from Singapore, and it's by Helen Ziller. It was published just this morning. It's well worth a read.
See, but that's what we were saying on Friday. If she started with that,
yes.
If she started with it being an article or a talk or something, then great.
Yeah.
But you don't go to Twitter and say, right, so colonialism.
Especially with her track record, that for me is what is the most frustrating. Like, you cannot tell me that you expected you were going to tweet this, people were going to see your point,
look,
they would agree with you.
I think you're right that she's a grown woman, she should be responsible for what she says, but I think you've got to look at these things in context,
mm-hmm.
which people are not doing because they don't want to do any hard work with their brains. It's too taxing for most people because they prefer to remain ignorant and feel morally and intellectually superior by throwing around insults. That's what people do.
Wow.
The other thing is that she's a politician. And maybe she should know better,
mm-hmm.
but Twitter is a bad place.
But like every single Tom, Twitter's Dick, and Jablani knows
don't,
to mind themselves
don't
on social
go,
media.
Just don't go near Twitter. Listen, if you've got an opinion, I can't believe I'm saying this. Don't go on Twitter with it. Keep it to yourself. Don't do it on Twitter. Talk to people who actually you can reason with, you can have a discussion with. Talk with your friends. I had to learn this the hard way. And let me save you the trouble. You might not believe Helen Ziller, but you believe me. I'm not a politician. Don't put opinions on Twitter. The most boring thing you've ever said can become the most controversial thing you've ever said. Do you remember what my whole situation was? People don't understand freedom of speech. How's that controversial? Look at what happened.
Thank goodness now she just wrote an article. That's the way to go. Look, you even had to write a whole book.
No, I had to write a whole book.
She just had to write a column piece. You see? That's proof enough, folks. That's explain
all right.
yourself.
Very good. Okay, when we come back in a moment or two, we'll meet our guests for this morning. We've got things to talk about. There's still this welfare payout problem which is looming, and we're going to have to keep a very close eye on that. The president says, by the way, don't judge her until the 1st of April, which is ironic because the 1st of April really is his day.
My goodness.
April Fool's Day. Right?
Aye, aye, aye.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. Well, nonetheless, it is going to be an exciting week. We aren't here tomorrow, but in our place, we actually have a special planned, which is Long Human Rights. And we've partnered with The Answer, which is the Anti-Racism Network of South Africa. And they've been heading up the Anti-Racism Week, which is held from the 14th and culminating tomorrow, the 21st of March. And it's marked globally as the International Day for Elimination of Race Discrimination. So it will be an interesting panel and discussion around that from 8 to 9. And by the way, Answer, this organization is...
Didn't you go to the Nelson Mandela Foundation and speak to a whole lot of people?
Yes, it's the brainchild of the Nelson Mandela Foundation and the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation as well. So before that panel discussion between 8 and 9, we'll be replaying Mr. Ahmed Kathrada's interview, which you did, Gareth.
Yeah, and I hope he gets better soon.
Oh yeah, between 7 and 8. So... good week. Good
All
week.
Right. Very good. We'll meet teenager Aidan Milam next. He had these terrible headaches and he decided to just deal with them by, you know, pretending it was just normal. And they didn't matter to him and they didn't stop him from doing what he had to do. But unknown to him, he was 14 at the time. The headaches, the nausea, the vomiting and the whooshing sound that he could hear were all symptoms of a much bigger problem. He had a cancerous brain tumor, which was huge in his head. And they didn't realize the severity of it. He he used to play rugby. He used to play all kinds of things. And the guy has an incredible story. When they x-rayed his head, they revealed there was nothing to worry about. But actually, he had developed, because of an injury, this tumor. And we're going to find out all about his really, really interesting journey and where he's come from, where he's going to, how he's managed to survive, what kind of a life he's got, what kind of a life he would have had if things had turned out differently. And we'll speak to him about this incredible story coming up in the next couple of minutes. That's Aidan Milam, who's a stage 3 brain cancer survivor. There are not a lot of those, so good for him.
Man.
And I thought, you know what? Let's talk to this guy. He's probably got something he can teach the whole lot of us. We'll learn from him. All right, so that's coming up in the next while. Anything else in the news we've got to cover here? I think we're pretty much done with the news, huh?
No, I've got some other stories we've got time for later, but nothing really pressing news-wise.
Nothing hugely important, Ben?
Yeah.
All right. I found this. Well, I mean, the song's been around for a while now, but I love it. So I'm going to play it for you. This is a song that's been going through my head for the last little while. You know who it is. It's The Weeknd.
Ah.
You know which one, right?
I see it coming, maybe.
No, I feel it coming.
Feel it coming. There we go.
Love it. CliffCentral.com.